is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Astros and Mariners, first series of the year between the two AL West rivals, met in the divisional series. It opens up, I guess is what you say in baseball terms, tonight at 9 o'clock. So I'm very excited for that one. And if you're curious, that the half shirt is gone. I'm not wearing it today. The half shirt will never be worn again. I'm very firmly Team Astros. It's personal for me now. It became personal in that divisional series. It's even more personal now because I want somebody that I used to work with just to be wrong. I'm that petty. Anyway, the Houston Texans, of course, made two pretty crazy moves a week ago that we were reacting to on Thursday night. We were not sure they were going to draft C.J. Stroud second overall. We also were not sure if they were going to take a great defensive player, and they did both. They draft C.J. Stroud second, and then, of course, they traded up to number three to get Will Anderson. Earlier today, we played some audio of the Indianapolis Colts reacting in real time to the Texans trading up to that number three spot after taking Stroud, I think because they realized that Anthony Richardson, the guy that they wanted all along, was going to be on the board for them. There's an article on ESPN from Kevin Seifert, and it's yet another reason that every single day we get further and further away from the draft. I am growing a little more concerned with what the Texans gave up to go and get Will Anderson, who hopefully is going to be a really good player. Here's what Seifert writes, quote, 2 hours before the NFL draft, no one outside of Houston knew what the Texans would do with the number two overall pick. Neither, as it turns out, did the Texans. In the final hours before the pick, the best guess among sources inside the Texans facility was Will Anderson would be the pick at number two. Ultimately, Texans GM Nick Caserio settled on a way to avoid the either-or scenario. He would do both, no matter the cost. Wow. That's essentially like draft day. Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Yeah. Will Anderson, no matter what.
Really? Interesting. The Texans had 12 picks coming into Thursday after Anderson was drafted Thursday night. Caserio said in a news conference he'd worked on outlining a deal to send a massive collection of draft capital to the Cardinals for the number three pick to select the pass rusher. And then he pivoted to Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud at number two. What appeared to some to be a brilliant smokescreen and to others a tightly held secret plan was instead a genuinely fluid situation until the moment the Texans picked Stroud, and the moments before the Texans picked Stroud. I can't read. Based on ESPN reporting in the days since, the Texans didn't fool the world. They bid an exorbitant price for number three, sending the Cardinals the number 12 pick, their second round pick, 33, and first and third round picks in 2024 in the last available moments to circumvent what would have been an agonizing choice. TL didn't listen. It sounds like they did this at the last minute. And that does lend a little bit of credence to my conspiracy theory that the Texans ownership group wanted a quarterback no matter what, and the Texans wanted Will Anderson no matter what, and this was the compromise in the middle. But the idea that this might have taken place at the last minute does concern me a little bit. How much stock do I put into this report? I will say this. I don't know because I don't believe that anyone actually has any inside information when it comes to the Texans' brain trust. With D'Amico Ryans to this point, with Nick Caserio, you heard D'Amico Ryans on Saturday after the Texans, I think, had made a pick in the sixth round saying, yeah, there's no reason to talk to anybody outside the room. So I'm hopeful that both Ryans and Caserio were able to maintain silence, not just from them, which I think was easier for two people, but from all the people that were around them. I don't know that I buy into the idea that there is somebody inside the Texans brain trust that has a real clue as to what they were doing. But this report from Kevin Seifert does make it sound like they were flying by the seat of their pants. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in if you have a thought on that. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. OG from H-Town said this: Paul, if Jalen Ramsey can be traded for two firsts, then the Texans didn't overpay for Anderson. Here's the problem with that. We've seen Ramsey play. Much like with the Laremy Tunsil trade, we've seen Tunsil play. I think you actually can retroactively sell the Texans trade for D'Amico, for Laremy Tunsil as a good trade. I think you can. I mean, has he not been awesome? I would say when he's engaged, he's been pretty good. He's been really expensive, so maybe that's a little bit concerning, and obviously those two first-round picks would be very cost-favorable for you. That's what a rookie contract does for you. You get that fifth-year option if the guy actually is working out for you. But I think you can sell the Laremy Tunsil trade in retrospect. But the thing is, with both Tunsil and with Jalen Ramsey, these guys had played well at the NFL level before the two trades with first-round picks, multiple first-round picks involved.
The Tunsil one is tough because they've only been competitive for one of the years that they had Tunsil, but that really had nothing to do with them.
It's not his fault, right?
Yeah, but that still hurts giving up two first-round picks, and then
oh, no doubt.
You're only good for 17 games.
Especially when you're really bad games. In one of those years, right, yeah. Sean? If you're the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, one of the picks was the third overall pick.
Yeah.
They could have had Trey Lance. Man, they could have had Trey Lance.
Now, that's the interesting thing. That could be where we're at right now.
Oh.
You can spin zone this.
Or Mac Jones.
You can spin zone this as you get a little bit further. If you're a Bill O'Brien supporter, and I'm sure there's somebody out there like, actually, well, O'Brien knew what he was doing. Like, bleep DeAndre Hopkins. But you can spin this if you really want to. I've said this before. I said it yesterday in particular. I am getting a little bit more and more nervous about what the Texans gave
up. I think draft night, it was because
draft night was exciting.
It was such a surprise that I feel like everyone and I have to give credit to him, except Jeremy Branham. Everyone was like, oh, yes, they did something.
Yes.
Something exciting, something fun. They got the quarterback and the edge rusher, and Jeremy was the lone voice being like,
this could be the worst day.
Folks, this could be a day that lives in infamy.
Yeah, like he's FDR and it's Pearl Harbor. Jesus, Jeremy.
But still starting with folks.
You know what's really funny? And I love Jeremy for this. Jeremy came in yesterday. And he's like, oh. Starting to see my way, huh, Paul? And I'm like, damn it.
He's got eyes everywhere. Eyes and ears everywhere. You can't get anything past
that. I know, you can't. You really can't. But look, as we get further and further away from it, I am getting a little bit more nervous. So I'm glad that two football voices that I trust, Robert Mays, Dane Brugler, on the Athletic Football Show, had this to say about what the Texans did. They have about the same take as me, where I don't like the trade, but the Texans needed to chase relevance this offseason, and this gives them relevance again.
The Texans sent us a message that they are done toiling in irrelevance.
Yeah.
We can hem and haw about how much they spent to go up and get Will Anderson, but this is a team that walked into this draft and said, we're going to get a quarterback that changes the face of our team on offense, and we are going to get a guy that we think can be an all-pro player every single year, year in and year out. We're going to get building block players on both sides of the ball that have people talking about us, even if you can argue with the value and the way that we're going about it. And I understand it.
Yeah, I do too. For where they've been, especially the last couple of years, I understand.
After shooting for 75s on Madden every single time they had a chance to, trying to get yourself a couple of guys in the 90s, even if you had to spend a little bit to get it, I understand it, even if I think that there are reasonable concerns and reasonable questions to be asked about the way that they went about it.
we got to have Robert Mays on if he's throwing Madden references out there. That just speaks so much to me.
That was also that clip was with Nate Tice.
Oh, that was Nate Tice. Yeah, that wasn't Dane Brugler, yeah. My bad.
Because I know Nate Tice, because I listen to the Athletic Football Show, and he throws a lot of the, like, that was his take about the Texans the last few years, like in free agency and such. It was like, yeah, they really hit all the 77s, 76s in Madden. So yeah, we'll effort to get one of those guys.
My apologies to Nate Tice on that. I do like Nate Tice too. It's a good show. They're actually a pretty entertaining football show as far as that goes. That and Around the NFL are the two ones that I listen to the most. They kept going, and look, that's how I feel. They chased relevance here, and while on the outside looking in, if you're just looking at it from a strictly how to build a football team up perspective, this was crazy. You have all these picks. This was crazy, but when you factor in where the team has been over the last couple of years, relevance is more important than chasing a championship. Here's the thing. One out of 32 teams wins the Super Bowl every single year. And I know that sounds like an obvious statement to make, but the odds are the Texans aren't going to win a Super Bowl over the course of the next decade. Right? You need to get back to relevance and to a level where people care. The Bill O'Brien era was not an era where enough people cared by the end of it. And you know why they didn't? Because they waited so long to go get a quarterback, and then when they got a quarterback, they played in the playoffs, and they lost that game to the Indianapolis Colts, and no one took them seriously after that moment in time. No one did. Even though they won 9 games in a row, they had started off 0-3 that year, and no one bought into them at the beginning of the 2019 season. It's one of those things where, even though they had a good year, looking back at it, yeah, it's one of those ones where you're like, damn, this could have been the year, and obviously it didn't really lead to anything. Anyway, Mays and Tice continued, and they had an argument about the supporting cast for C.J. Stroud that I found interesting, because a lot of people are also criticizing the Texans for perhaps getting in the way of Stroud having the best possible supporting cast around him.
I do think it's a decent situation as far as offensively to drop a rookie QB in.
They've checked a lot of boxes.
A lot of stuff that you are like, you're not scared. We're going like, oh, he's going to get his ass kicked. You know, oh my God, this is terrifying. Like, what, really? The center's going to get beat every play. So even the one hole that they had on the offensive line, they drafted Juice Scruggs. It was a little bit of a reach, but it's still a starting caliber center, I think.
And I understand that. If that's going to be the reason you're making a reach, is think like, oh, we need a center with the quarterback. Like, this is a guy that is, it's a big hole. The rest of the offensive line together. Kind of come together. Like, if you're going to reach at certain spots for certain reasons, I understand that being the reason.
Yep, absolutely. I like that. I always argue that.
And he went a little bit further after that to say, hey, they got Dalton Schultz this offseason at wide receiver, Robert Woods, Noah Brown, join John Mechie, Nico Collins. Definitely a bit of a sell job happening there, but you have Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. You have Titus Howard at right tackle. You trade for Shaq Mason as well. The offense should be better next year. Obviously, the weapons aren't exciting, and Stroud doesn't have anybody that's a true game breaker, but at the very least, they all understand how to play in the NFL because they've been in the NFL for a couple of years. So the larger point those two were trying to make is that could be good for Stroud to just have consistent, reliable players as he tries to learn things his first year in the league.
Yeah, they have like real NFL players, like Dalton Schultz and Robert Woods to go along with the rest of the pass catchers, and then the offensive line. Like, this is like a comp. They're not A pluses. I mean, to go back to the Nate Tice thing, these aren't 90s in Madden.
No.
But they have enough like real NFL players around them.
They have a lot of 70 to 75. Yes. Yeah. And maybe, you know, I think Schultz is trending towards an 80, and I think Damian Pierce is in the mid 80s. I think that Laremy Tunsil would be probably like 91.
Love,
I think
Titus, love this Madden talk.
Yeah, Howard's probably an 82. Yeah. I would say Shaq Mason's like a 77, 78. Might have been a little bit higher a couple of years ago due to the injuries. And then after that, we'll see. We'll see. But I don't think it's like an absolute dumpster fire around them. And I feel like, I could be wrong on this, but Bobby Slowick should do a better job than Pep Hamilton. It's a very low bar to clear.
We thought Pep Hamilton would do a better job than the other guy.
We did. That's true. Know. That's true. Tim Kelly now in Tennessee, by the way. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Forgot to mention Tank Dell there as well as the guy that they brought in the third round. Thank you, 346, for bringing that up. Up next, it is Cinco de Mayo, which I think you're going to have an uphill argument to say is an actual holiday as opposed to an excuse for us to drink. Margaritas, they're neat. Who has the best margarita in town? Paul Galancho, Embrace Debates, 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Well, last time I checked, you know, we played them three really good games. We're probably one swing of the bat away from winning all three of those games. They go on to win the World Series. They're a really good team, and they're not going anywhere. We're a really good team. We're not going anywhere. So I say that, and our division's gotten better. We're not the only team that's gotten better.
That is Mariners manager Scott Servais a couple of months ago talking about the Houston Astros. Something about Servais from the Astros fan perspective, a guy who is clearly not afraid when it comes to managers across baseball to get into it. There's something about Servais that rubs you the wrong way. And as someone who's actually met him, I do like him as a guy. He seems pretty nice. But there's something about him during Astros Mariners games where he seems a little whiny. And you just don't like them. And I'm really excited for tonight's season series opener between the Astros and Mariners in Seattle. First pitch, 9 o'clock, with Christian Javier on the mound for Houston. It's Cinco de Mayo. I think we've established on today's show, in addition to being the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, probably the most alcohol-loving talk show in Houston. Although I can't speak for Sean. I don't know if Sean's like favorite thing is... alcohol's favorite pastime is alcohol.
I think you carry a lot of the weight in the alcohol-loving relationship here.
Sadly, it's kind of my only weekend hobby. Like, I just work during the week, and then I drink on the weekends. And I'm like, oh, damn, Monday. Like, I'm kind of basic. Maybe I need to expand my horizons. Maybe I need somebody in my life to change me.
I'm just saying there might be a show... in Houston, where there's more co-hosts that like, I mean, it'll be hard to beat the bench. You have John with the Coors Lights, and then you have Lance.
I don't think it's a contest with Lance. Sorry, I think John's the only person that can go toe to toe with me, and John would beat me.
But I'm saying as a show, then
I'm
dragging you down there.
Yeah, together.
I'm the weakness. I'm the.
We've drank together.
I'm the PJ Tucker, stay in the corner. I'm not gonna take the shot.
You're gonna have gonna do it. 0 points in 28 minutes and a couple of sack taps.
But I'll play some good defense.
All right, cool. I like it. Who has the best margarita in town? Is the question we ask on this Cinco de Mayo, which we have established is clearly a drinking holiday. Is an excuse to drink? It's not a holiday. It's not. Like, it celebrates the French winning a battle in a war that they – excuse me, the Mexicans beating the French in a war that they ultimately lost until the U.S. intervened.
USA, USA.
I went to Culture Map Houston in a piece by Eric Sandler, who put together a list of the best places for National Margarita Day earlier this year. Axelrad, that's a good spot. Blanco Coquina and Cantina. Sorry, I don't. Know how to do a Spanish accent, but at least I'm trying, huh? Candente, Chapman and Kirby and Ito, been there. Cucharita, Athro Flint, been there. They have very good margaritas. El Big Bad, which has infused tequilas. Haven't been there in a really long time. Jack's Grill, the Margarita Social at Common Desk in the East End, Molina's Cantina, Monkey's Tail, Southside Sporting Club, Swallow's Nest, Tacos O'Gogo. I love Tacos O'Gogo, Margs. Tacos O'Gogo, Margs, have they'll give you to-go margaritas, and they also have a jalapeno margarita. It's fantastic. Half gallon for $10. That's one of my favorite. There's the Taco Stand, Tulum HTX, Urbe. I'm a big sucker for El Tiempo. I don't know what the hell else they're putting in there, but those things will knock you on your ass. Nymphas has pretty good ones as well. Fusion Taco I like, and I got to say, I'm a big fan of sweet margaritas. I think my favorite in town is up in the Heights at Easy's Liquor Lounge. But who's got the best one? We do have some comments, 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. Rare Candy is saying on the Twitch, Beer-ritas. Beer-ritas are solid, but it's I like a beer-rita if the margarita I'm having isn't that good. Like, that's what, if I'm having a margarita and I'm not, like, a big fan of the taste, or if it's too sweet, which does happen from time to time, even though I prefer sweet margaritas, that's when I will actually order a beer and I will try to do the beer-rita. Like, a beer-rita is a correction. I don't think it's the correct choice, if that makes sense. A text. You'll love this one. The best one is actually at Gringos. That's racist. Food has gone south. What? I'm not going to say that, but order the Tres G margarita. It's off menu. It's a frozen marg with three different shots of tequila on top. Drink two jumbos. Good luck. Yes, that sounds like I'm going to die if I have that one. What else do we have here? Virginia Buttonweed. Some people are asking about Club. No, wait, hang on a second. I'm trying to see who said this comment. Someone else commented, Club No Miners, Blue Margarita. I'm not a fan of the sounds racist. I'm not a fan of those colored margaritas. I don't like them. So a blue margarita or the radioactive looking ones that they have at the rodeo that, like, clearly are not margaritas. It's like drinking a frozen ice pop. No, spare me on those ones. Now it's turning into a flavored drink conversation here. 713-780-3776 to call and into text. We're getting a ton of texts. We might have to go through some of them during the commercial break. Now we're getting just questions about drinks. Bear asks, aside from tequila, can margaritas be made with vodka, gin, or bourbon? I mean, you can, but why would you? Like, there's a bite with tequila that I think is preferential to that of what you get with vodka, gin, and bourbon. You can do that. You know, you can obviously, if you get, what are those things? The one with the ginger beer. Like a Moscow Mule. You could do a Moscow Mule with different kinds of alcohol in it. I wouldn't advise doing it, but you can. You can obviously do a martini with gin or with vodka. But I think if you're getting a margarita without a tequila, it's not a margarita. Like, don't even play. Like a vodka margarita, that's weird. I know some people don't like tequila. I know some people, it hits them hard. So anyway, 713-780-3776. We're getting a lot of suggestions for the top margarita in town. Someone's asking, daiquiri versus marg, who you got? That's from Larry Footsack on Twitter. I don't like the daiquiris. Pina colada are my guilty pleasure. Especially if you have some sort of, like, decorative cup to put it in. You know, like a carved out tiki head or something like that. Ooh. But pina colada slap. Anyway, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Look at us talking about booze at 11:30 on a weekday. We're so uncultured. Favorite margarita in town. Is Cinco de Mayo actually a holiday or just an excuse to drink? Plus, up next, the return of Mariners Watch. Oh no. Paul Galacho, don't go anywhere.
Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston on this Cinco de Mayo. Of course, we're talking about margaritas. We're almost halfway through the day. It's 11:30. Who's got the best margaritas in town? The text message that I got the most is Donkeys in Pasadena. Huh. Honestly, it would be nice if all of you guys could Uber Eats me a bunch of these so I could figure it out and perhaps clear the rest of my schedule today. I'd rather just test margaritas than do errands and things like that. I gotta go do a bunch of crap today. Ugh. Hate it when that happens. I always save it for Friday. And then I'm like, why did I save this for Friday? Why didn't I do it during the week? Javier has a thought on beer-ritas at 713-780-3776. If you're just tuning in, someone asked me about beer-ritas in the last segment, and I'm not hating on them as a whole, but I only have a beer-rita as a correction to overly sweet margarita. It's like a subtle way to, you know, not criticize the people making the margarita in the restaurant that you go to. You just put it in when you're not feeling it. That sounds weird coming out of my mouth. Javier, thoughts on beer-ritas?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
Thanks for the call. So, it's just a little bit of a twist. So, there's this one restaurant called Iguana Joe's, and I tried the Pita-Rita, wasn't too much of a fan of it, but what they actually do is it's a strawberry margarita, and they actually take the strawberry margarita, and instead of the beer, they actually pour a mini champagne bottle into it, and surprisingly, it was a nice take on it. So if you're ever on the north side, northeast side, there's a couple locations, so I'll let you just ponder that thought.
That is interesting, Javier, because you said strawberry margarita, and I'm out. Artificial strawberry tastes gross to me. I don't know why. I think actual strawberries taste good, but strawberry artificially, like ranging from Starbursts to, I've had frozen strawberry popsicles at Disney World. Yeah. It doesn't taste anything like a strawberry.
I'm completely opposite on you.
I like artificial strawberries.
I like a strawberry artificial flavors, and I don't like real strawberries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Don't like them.
The infusion of other flavors into the margarita seems to make it not a margarita. Like, we don't call grapefruit margaritas margaritas. We call them Palomas. So I feel like we gotta be all on the same page here. It's lime. It's not about anything else. But when he said champagne, now that sounds pretty sick. I don't know if that's a margarita still, but a champagne, strawberry, whatever the hell it is, that actually sounds like it could be good. I think that champagne flavor would actually be complemented by strawberry, even artificial strawberry, pretty well. All right, guys, you can keep that coming. Strawberry Starbursts are not the best Starbursts. That's wrong. It's orange. Get it right. We haven't done this in a while. Mariners Watch is back. And I know some of you guys thought that the guy killed himself after the Astros beat the Mariners, after the Mariners lost to the Astros. Fair point. But Mariners Watch is back, guys, with the Astros taking on the Mariners starting tonight for a 3-game set in Seattle.
Mariners Watch.
They had a few things go their way today. We did not. It'll probably flip when we go to Seattle. I do know how hard it is to win on the road, and it'll be very hard for them to win in Seattle.
2023.
3-2 pitch. In the air, deep left center field, hit well. Rodriguez on the run, and it is gone! Oh, Jeremy Peña sends one to the seats, and the Astros lead 1-0 in the 18th inning.
May 5th, 2023. Yeah, it's me, the Mariners guy. You probably thought I killed myself when the Astros beat us. Actually, I just shot up a bunch and passed out in an encampment that used to be a playground for kindergartners. The city of Houston is plastered on margaritas tonight. And it's as if they forgot how close we played them last year. Hey, remember when we almost beat them in Game 1? And how we almost beat them in Game 2? And how we almost beat them in Game 3? I don't get why we didn't raise 3 banners for those. Right next to our 2022 wildcard banner. Hang on. Pass me that fentanyl. Yeah, no one on the team can hit worth a damn. Yeah, Julio Rodriguez is overpaid like the $5,000 a month one-room apartment I'm living in and overpaying for without air conditioning and homeless people taking dumps outside the leasing office. But Houston isn't ready for our new weapon. Special K. I'm not talking about ketamine, Jesus. Cut me some slack. Jared Kelnick, he's a star. Julio Rodriguez, still a star. And the Astros, that star, is about to blow up like the Death Star. We're coming. You don't want none of this.
Mariners Watch guy, he's back. I am very curious as to how violent the internet streets are going to be specifically tonight. Because it's always interesting. I follow a bunch of people from Seattle, having worked up there for a couple of years, and I follow a bunch of people from Houston, and it turns violent, very violent. Got to say this about that violence. I am a fan of Ben DeBose, the person. Ben DeBose is the shield that guards the realm of men from bad refereeing. But I don't like how Ben DeBose goes private during Astros Mariners games on Twitter. I don't like it. Ben, you got to stand tall in the pocket.
You can't just tweet out mean things about the Mariners and not expect, you know, the blowback. And by the way, you have the high ground, much like Obi-Wan Kenobi had the high ground on Anakin. Yesterday was May the 4th. Hey, we forced a Star Wars reference into today's show, too. How about that? Ben, you can't go private tonight. You got to stand in the pocket and fight. Fight to the finish, okay? But I love it. I love the violence. It's fun because I'm friends with everybody. Like, I like Mariners fans. I do. And I like Astros fans, obviously. And I like to sit back and say, like, hey, guys, just have fun. Just have fun. But I am rooting for the Astros definitively in this series. The half shirt is gone. We're not wearing it anymore.
Yeah. You're not doing the – you're making steps in the right direction, yeah. But you still have a little ways to go. You need to start hating these Seattle Mariners people. You got to – you know, Ryan Divish is an enemy.
I can't. No, but Divish is cool. I like.
No,
Divish,
no, you can't do that.
What? He's a beat writer for the Mariners. He's an enemy. No, he's not an enemy. He's not an enemy. No, like the guy who's writing the propaganda stuff for the Mariners and claiming that this is the best team in team history when they've won, you know, a record-setting amount of games in a season before, that guy is the enemy.
Ryan Divish is just the only Mariners person I can name.
Divish is actually pretty critical of the team, like hypercritical of the team. And on top of that, he's a Montanan. So he's a little extra badass.
Wow. Like Yellowstone.
Yeah. I think at least he's Montanan. Oh. That's what I want him to identify as. East Side. For those who don't know, the East Side of Washington State is like super, super, super conservative. It's an interesting dynamic. Like the entire state of Washington is essentially conservative outside of Seattle. But the majority of the population of Seattle is hyper liberal. And that outweighs the entire rest of the state. It's a very interesting little split that you have between the two. Pacific Northwest, everybody. How about that? Anyway.
Again, they're the enemies. just to reset, they're the enemies today.
They are the enemies. They are. If you're going to the game today/tonight in Seattle, watch out. It's not great downtown. It might be pretty, you know, if you take a look at the water, but keep an eye out. It's been pretty bad around T-Mobile Park, from what I understand, the last couple of weeks. Like, they were picking up lots of needles outside the stadium before opening day. Like, lots of them. That's not me making it up and, like, trying to be a jerk and dumping on another city. It legitimately was happening. It's kind of sad.
Or, if you want some free needles, hey, go down to T-Mobile Park.
Honestly, it's probably not wrong. All right, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Coming up next, is this the kiss of death for Texas football in 2023? It might be. Jeez. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Shout out to Sean Mapes, DJ behind the glass on the ones, the twos, and threes. This is AC/DC, right? Can always recognize AC/DC. That's the one band that I have no like background knowledge about, but I almost always can tell if it's an AC/DC.
They are the best all time, any musician ever, of every song kind of sounds the same, but
it's all good.
Yeah, they do it the best.
It's all good. Yeah. Basically, my entire music knowledge, it all comes from going to Patriots games growing up. And they would play a ton of AC/DC, a ton of Guns N' Roses, a little Bruce Springsteen, and then the rest is from my dad, who would play a lot of Frank Sinatra, Billy Joel, musicals. And his favorite band, Steely Dan. Loved Steely Dan, plus Creedence Clearwater Revival. So basically, the reason that I am so out of touch with music from today is because I only listen to old music. I really do. And by old, I mean old, old. I discovered grunge 5 years ago, and it's my favorite genre. Sean's laughing, but I'm serious. I am musically challenged. Anyway, on the table still with the Astros taking on the Mariners, do you respect the Mariners? If you want to get any final thoughts in before the end of the show. Also, we have established that Cinco de Mayo is an excuse to get drunk. It's not It's not a holiday. We all agree. Like, Mexico barely celebrates it, if they even celebrate it at all. It's an American, it's a Mexican-American holiday. And maybe it has to do with the fact that the U.S. intervened in that war, because Mexico lost the war that they fought after winning that battle at Puebla to the French. Those bastards always trying to intervene in Mexico. You can get out! Go back overseas, you damn French! I don't know why I said it with that accent, but it's the United States stepping in. What can we say?
We'll eat freedom fries here in Mexico?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Freedom papas? I don't know.
All of that's on the table before we hit the road, and there's a lot of suggestions for best margarita in town. I've gotten so many, now it's like too much. I don't know what to do with it. Can I drive from one to the next to the next? Is any Uber driver out there? Do you want to volunteer to drive me? Because I will be gone.
I was going to say, I don't think you can drive to all of them.
Should I do a call into the wheelhouse for the Killer Bees after like a couple mugs? Hey!
Have you thought about that the trade for Will Anderson's really a trade for CJ Stroud? Anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
I want to call into Jeremy. He's like, hey, Jeremy. Hey.
Jeremy Branham.
J-Bone. I like your Zags, man. Hey, remember when you compared the draft to Pearl Harbor? That's J-Bone. That's you.
Jeremy Branham.
Sean, you saw this during the commercial break. This is not, I think, the way that you wanted the build up to Texas football this fall to begin. No. Let's get it.
The hype machine always always pumping. It's always maybe a little too fast for my liking.
You think so? Okay.
Yes. Every year it's too, it gets out of hand.
All right. Well, let's hear the new story.
On the May the 5th, I don't know what this man was doing today that made him say this, but Urban Meyer, college football analyst for Fox and all-time great college football coach, disgraced NFL coach. He says, quote, it's hard to say Texas doesn't have the best roster in college football right now.
Texas is back.
It's very tough. Let's go.
Sean, why aren't you excited? Urban Meyer knows ball.
Urban Meyer, a man I wanted hired as Texas football coach as soon as like 2021.
That's how much he likes it. Come on. What's there to be nervous about? He would know.
It's just the expectations are going to be out of hand. I just
good.
Every year there's someone who picks Texas to be in their college football playoff, and every year it's ridiculous. This year it might be more than one person.
No, Sean, this is it. It's the swan song in the Big 12, okay? This is it. All those horns downs over the years, this is where the retribution comes back in. Best roster in all of college football.
It's hard to say. Hard to say they don't. It's very easy to say they don't.
Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning?
Yeah.
And that other guy that apparently played better than maybe both in the spring game?
Yeah. Malik Murphy, yeah. If only they could play all three of them at once.
But maybe they can. Maybe
really something.
Steve Sarkisian,
Yeah, no.
He used to appreciate Cinco de Mayo.
Normally I have to wait until like late July, August to have to deal with this.
Okay. Nope. All right, fine.
Nope. It's gonna be out of hand, guys.
It's unbecoming. Texas fans need to always exude arrogance, and I'm not feeling this mentality. This is negative Riz, Sean. Negative Riz.
All right.
On God, for real.
All right. You know what? Garbage time started early today.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Hi, it's me, Red. Hey, the Paul Gallant Show. It's always garbage time on that. By the way, he didn't show up at the draft party. Didn't show up. There was an open invitation. Didn't even show up. Sad. Anyway, I do think it's funny that Rory McIlroy, defender of PGA suits, bootlicker, which is, of course, the Northern Ireland way. That's the one part of Ireland that bent the knee to the Limeys. He is getting shafted by the PGA, even though he's the guy that defended the PGA against the LIV Golf Tour the most. So I kind of like this. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan confirmed confirmed Wednesday, Rory McIlroy will lose $3 million of his player impact program bonus for missing a second designated event last month. It's the second time he's opted out of a designated event this season. This was the point of LIV, right? That you don't have to go to every single tournament, or that there's less tournaments to go to or something like that for the best golfers in the world. So look at that. Rory McIlroy lost $3 million for not going to one. Wonder if he's thinking about that Saudi money right now. I wonder. Doesn't take much to change people's minds. Although Tiger Woods was offered like $1 billion, so yeah.
Also, it upsets me on behalf of the PGA Tour players that Tiger Woods is like qualifies for the PIP bonuses, which is basically like how many like social media hits you get, and like it has to do with how popular you are. They throw a bonus your way.
I like it,
and I'm like, Tiger Woods, this guy plays three rounds a year, and he gets $15 million?
Good for Tiger. Well, you need to keep him playing, and you need to honestly finance whatever the hell he can do to
play once a year?
Go to, like, let's all fund Tiger Woods to go to Germany, give him all the PEDs, give him all the surgery. Like, let's turn Tiger Woods into a robot. I'm cool with that.
I was going to say, no, yeah, because Germany, they think too biological for what Tiger Woods. We need to send him to Boston Dynamics.
Ooh.
And we need to go full like robo golfer. The T1000, the T's for Tiger.
Seriously,
like, let's make it happen.
Let's make Tiger Woods an half American band. Hero of artificial intelligence and machinery.
We can rebuild him. It's the $6 million man.
I like it. Let's go. Another story. Sean, we would both agree that the DC movie universe, you know, Batman, Superman, yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks. But there's a new movie coming out soon called The Flash, starring Ezra Miller, a famous they who has been in, like, all the trouble possible in a couple of years.
Think actor Antonio Brown. Like, when Antonio Brown was getting in trouble every week.
Great
that's
comparison.
What this person is.
Ezra Miller's done so much stuff. Some of it has been caught on film. But The Flash, the movie that's coming out starring Ezra Miller as The Flash, it's going to have Michael Keaton as old Batman in an alternate universe, among other stars. The production designer believes his performance in this movie is going to make fans forget the off-screen behavior. There's been so much hype for this movie, and I think even Leonardo DiCaprio hyped it too. And I'm getting more annoyed by it than buying into it, because DC largely is a franchise that features movies with underwhelming, cookie-cutter, boring-ass villains with no backstory, and also just really no plot whatsoever that makes sense, too. Wonder Woman 1984 is toilet paper. That is the worst superhero movie I've seen in a while. And I think everyone started off by saying, like, oh, yes, Wonder Woman. Oh, yes, women power. And then like, a couple of weeks in, they were like, actually, we're just kidding. This movie is garbage. They had Pedro Pascal in it as the villain, and it still sucked.
It's probably the worst Pedro Pascal movie.
It's the worst thing Pedro Pascal's been in ever.
The problem with DC movies is that they either have zero plot or, like, three different plots just stapled together.
Yes.
There's very little in between.
Right. One last story. An estimated 500 pounds of cooked pasta was found dumped near a stream in Old Bridge, New Jersey last week. It's leftovers. Why isn't anyone eating it?
Wait, of cooked pasta?
Yeah.
Wait. Why is there 500 pounds of cooked pasta?
Why isn't there 500 pounds of cooked pasta?
I read over cooked, and I just thought it was like a spaghetti truck fell over or something.
I gotta say, you know,
cooked. I'm
amazed by how this got out. Like, how would this be shipped?
How do you cook 500 pounds of pasta?
I'm assuming this is some restaurant that like wanted to dump. And look, it's biodegradable.
500 pounds?
500 pounds is an insane amount, though. I want to know, like, physically how much space that took up. Like, can we get local police officers to put it all on a table, like, as part of a drug bust?
Yeah.
I just want to see. Probably eat some of it too.
Just a whole bunch of...
I like it. Let's do it. Anyway, that's going to wrap up a Cinco de Mayo episode of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, our Twitchers, our texters, and our callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Happy Cinco de Drinko. I mean, Mayo, the Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
This is America, Ken. If you don't know the facts, then you got to chill.